This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Monday, a Medal of Honor Monday. We've already covered sports. We've already covered cartels. We are going to get to, there's all kinds of communist stuff to cover this hour. Bernie Sanders said something revealing. Susan Rice said something revealing. Someone from New Zealand said something revealing, and that never happens. Quit. All that and more still to come on the second hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But you know what time it is. It's the start of the second hour on Monday. Therefore, it's Medal of Honor Monday time. We take a hero and we honor them. We remember the man and we remember his deeds. And look, C.S. Lewis has a great quote about this that I did not bother to look up before this segment. So just please know that this is a very, very, very inaccurate quote, but it's pretty close. He says, basically, if we're going to tell our children about this dark world they're going to encounter as they grow up, and they will encounter it, then we should at least tell them stories about heroes. They should learn about heroes. This has always been important to me, to hold up somebody in front of our children and tell them, not that he was perfect, because he was not, but that there are heroes, there are men and women who do heroic things, and that you can aspire to be that. And you may find this shocking, but the human mind being what it is, often when children grow up hearing about these stories, they go on to be heroes themselves in one way or another. It's how you inspire people. You let them know that's what you're going for. Now, before we get to Gordon Douglas Entima. Gordon Douglas Entima, by the way, he was a Green Beret. It's not necessarily clear in his citation, but he was a Green Beret in Vietnam. I want to explain. Just I realize sometimes I talk past people when it comes to military matters, and I really try to never do that. And I've done that before. Just please know that's not my intention. Different people have different levels of understanding about military matters. What do Green Berets do? Special Forces is what they're known as. But what do they actually do? What's their main mission? Their main thing is they will go into a country and they will find forces there that are aligned with our interests, with American interests. And they will train those forces up to fight against our enemies. And then, oftentimes, they will fight with the forces they've trained up. So they're so capable of not just the cool stuff we watch movies about, kicking in doors and shooting and blowing things up. They're very, very capable at that. But they have to be more. Green Berets generally are thought of as being some of the more mature super ninja type guys, you know, the Navy SEALs and all these other types. Green Berets, you have to have a certain level of maturity to you, because they'll drop you and your team in, and you have to take this oftentimes indigenous group or this guerrilla group, and you have to turn them into a fighting force and train them into a fighting force, and you have to train them well, because like I said, you will then go out and you will have to fight with them oftentimes. And if they're not ready, you're going to die. And Green Berets have many times in the past given their lives for these men. And in Vietnam, they would go set up these camps that were always subject to attack from the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong. And this happened over the course of January 16th to the 18th in the year 1968. Gordon Douglas Entima, born 1945 out of Bethsaida, Maryland. How about that?
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry in intrepidity in action at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, Sergeant Entema, U.S. Army, distinguished himself while assigned to Detachment A-431, Company D, as part of a larger force of civilian irregulars from Camp Kai Kai. He accompanied two platoons to a blocking position east of the village Thong Bin, where they became heavily engaged in a small arms firefight with the Viet Cong. Assuming control of the force when the Vietnamese commander was seriously wounded, he advanced his troops to within 50 meters of the enemy bunkers. After a fierce 30-minute firefight, the enemy forced Sergeant Entema to withdraw his men to a trench in order to afford them protection and still perform their assigned blocking mission. Under cover of machine gun fire, approximately one company of Viet Cong maneuvered into a position which pinned down the friendly platoons from three sides. A dwindling ammunition supply, coupled with a Viet Cong mortar barrage, which inflicted heavy losses on the exposed friendly troops, caused many of the irregulars to withdraw. Seriously wounded and ordered to withdraw himself, Sergeant Entema refused to leave his fallen comrades. Under withering small arms fire and machine gun fire, he carried the wounded Vietnamese commander and a mortally wounded American Special Forces advisor to a small gully 50 meters away in order to shield them from the enemy fire. Sergeant Entema then continued to repulse the attacking Viet Cong, attempting to overrun his position until, out of ammunition and surrounded, he was offered the opportunity to surrender. Refusing, Sergeant Entema stood his ground, using his rifle as a club to fight the approximately 15 Viet Cong attempting his capture. His resistance was so fierce that the Viet Cong were forced to shoot in order to overcome him. Sergeant Entema's personal bravery in the face of insurmountable odds and supreme self-sacrifice were in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect the utmost credit upon himself, the First Special Forces, and the U.S. Army. And he gave his life for his country. A lot of very, very brave men gave their lives in that place. We honor them all. All right? All right. Now, enough of these heroes. Let's talk about a different set of heroes. I'm talking about Democrats who pander to black people. I can't help it. Everyone who listens to this show understands this about me. A couple things. One, I'm a terrible person. I fully admit I'm a terrible person. Two, I will walk away from politics one day, I hope. One day. Long, long, long way away. I'm not going anywhere. Don't get me wrong. I do politics because I believe it is important. That's why I do it. I believe it really matters for my country, for my children, for your children. One day, if the good Lord lets me, I'll walk away from it. I'll go do something else. But even when I walk away from politics, let's say 20 years from now when I do a history podcast or something like that once a year. Who knows? Just something to kill time. Even on those days, I will still check in just to watch Democrats pander to black people.
It is my favorite thing by mile in politics. It is so nakedly shameless and dishonest, of course. There's nothing genuine about it. And racist, which is always hilarious. It's just hilarious. And they all do it. Some will be so over the top with it and so insulting with it that you, every time you convince yourself, oh my gosh, that's going to get them in trouble. And it never does. It never does. And they'll still get 90% of the black vote in the country. I marvel at it. And it gives me the Snickers, something fierce. Gavin Newsom, oh my gosh, he dropped an all-timer. It ranked, what Gavin Newsom just said ranks up there with the Rear Admiral Pete Buttigieg drinking a 40 out of a brown paper bag to improve his numbers with the black community. It ranks up there with that one. I will play it for you in a moment in case you haven't heard it. Before that, let's remember this. We have to take our money and we have to spend it with companies who share our values. I just talked about Vietnam. A Vietnam veteran, a Vietnam hero. When I tell you that Pure Talk is led by a Vietnam veteran, he did two tours with Mac V. Sog in Vietnam, behind enemy lines in Vietnam. To this day, I'll tell you this, without going into detail, to this day, he is greatly affected by the things he had to see and go through in Vietnam. Why is Pure Talk this over-the-top patriotic cell company? Why? They're so patriotic, they hire Americans? Isn't that expensive? Pure Talk is led by people who love this country like you do. You'll pay less. Take 10 minutes and switch to Pure Talk. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, you can email the show your love, your hate, your death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back to the subject at hand. My favorite thing in politics by a mile is Democrats pandering to black people. It is so shameless and racist and dishonest, and it's just perfect in every way. Now, why do they still do it? I mean, think about the things that have come out of Democrat mouths over the years. We could go down the list. Things like this. Some things that aren't even the ones we remember. This is the governor of New York.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know.
The governor of New York. These black kids, they don't even know what a computer is. We're still trying to teach them about fire and the invention of the wheel. Yet they get away with it. They all get away with it. Why? Let's get this about human nature. At some level, if we're being honest, we all want to be pandered to some extent. To some extent, we want politicians, even if they're not necessarily like us, to at least pretend a little. Pandering can almost be a show of respect, for lack of a better way to put it. A great example of this, Donald Trump, when he was campaigning, when he put on the McDonald's apron and served burgers and fries to people in the drive-thru window. It was ridiculous. He's always in a suit. Totally ridiculous. Donald Trump is not working at McDonald's. Nobody who works at McDonald's or has worked at McDonald's thinks that Donald Trump is anybody who would ever work at McDonald's. But it almost felt like a show of respect. Hey, I'm not too good to load up some fries, hand you a happy meal. People loved it. So there is this. At some level, everybody likes some pandering. Even if you're not like me, you can pretend a little. However, if you take it too far to the point of naked dishonesty, And if you're pandering to me involves insulting me, that's when it can get really, really funny for terrible people like me. Gavin Newsom wants to be president of the United States of America. The black population in America is roughly 13% of the population. However, if you want to be a Democrat president, you have to first get the Democrat nomination, which means you have to win the Democrat primary. And to win the Democrat primary, that goes directly through states like South Carolina, where black people in large numbers will determine who the Democrat nominee is. In short, the reason we have all this hilarious video and sound from everyone from the Rear Admiral Pete Buttigieg to Hillary Clinton to Joe Biden to everyone, the reason we have hilarious black pandering sound from all these national Democrats is they have to, at some point, in some way, go get on their knee in front of the black community and beg for black support. Gavin Newsom is currently doing this every chance he gets. You may remember recently when he went on the NBA podcast and talked about hustling with Wonder Bread and mac and cheese.
But also, you know, it was also about paying the bills, man. And it was just like hustling. And so I was out there kind of raising myself, turning on the TV, started, you know, just getting obsessed, you know, sitting there with the, you know, the Wonder Bread and five stacks of,
man, you know, like the White Stack Five story.
Come on. Macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. Man, I love, good, man, bro. Yeah. Are you talking about me?
Young YG.
YG, but man, I'm
every
it.
Day,
I it.
Every day in the backyard, just bouncing the basketball, throwing the ball again.
But you heard the reaction from the hosts. Were they turned off by that naked pandering? I loved it. Gavin Newsom went and sat down. Black dude on stage interviewing him, mayor, by the way. And this is what he said.
I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to impress upon you. I'm like you. I'm no better than you. You know, I'm a 960 SAT guy. But literally a 960 SAT guy. I cannot, you've never seen me read a speech because I cannot read a speech.
That's so good. Look, we all of us are voters. We all, as humans, though, we all, as I said, expect some level of pandering. But we should probably put limits on that, right? In our own minds, we should probably put limits on how much is acceptable. If Donald Trump wants to throw on a McDonald's apron for 20 minutes and hand out some Happy Meals, okay, I get it. If Donald Trump puts on a Stetson cap and tries to ride a bucking Bronco around, starting to feel a little gross. At some point, isn't it maybe too far? Can we say that? Maybe it's too far? All right, I'll do a couple emails before we get to soulless communists and billionaires. Hang on.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So before I get to emails, I have to get to this, and I'm going to get to some evil commie stuff, Bernie Sanders, Susan Rice. There's a lot I still have to get to. So I told you I was in Tucson over the weekend. That's why I wasn't here. I had to go back. We were honoring my wife, Aubrey, gymnastics. They had a big, you know, the last 50 years of gymnastics reunion, all that stuff. Now, all of her old gymnastics teammates were there, right? On Saturday night. And I know all of them because I married her when she was on the team. So they were at the wedding. You know, I know all these girls. I know some of their husbands. I know them. Saturday night, we'd been to all these different events. There was a meet and greet here and a tour here and a breakfast there. And it was a lot. By the end of Saturday night, or by Saturday evening, I was pretty fried, feeling a little run down. They had a big team meal at some Mexican restaurant, and Ob could see I was a little run down. Maybe the social meter was a little low. She said, "Hey, you've been great. Just go back to the hotel room and relax." Sounds good, right? So that's one part of the setup. Here's the other part of the setup. And all, I mean, there's nothing vulgar. You know, it's a family show. But without getting into too much detail, I have found in my later years that when I wear dress shirts and it gets cold, sometimes there is some chafage, all right? What, Chris? Don't interrupt. There's some chafage. Do you not go through this at all? A little bit? So, okay, see, even Jewish producer Chris does. It crosses religious lines, apparently. Recently, I decided to get ahead of the chafage and do what I'd never done before, and I bought some wife beaters. You know, what, Chris? That's what they're called. Everyone knows what they are. The undershirt, the white undershirt, the sleeveless undershirt things. They're called wife beaters, all right? Don't make me out to be Ike Turner. That's what the shirt is called. I purchased some wife beaters, all right? Now, I go back to my hotel room. Ob takes off with the girls out to a big team celebration at the Mexican restaurant. I get a little hungry. I'm sitting in the hotel room. My dress shirt is off. I have jeans on and a wife beater on. I order a pizza. I don't want to go out. Like I said, I'm fried. I order a pizza. I assumed, since it was a big, you know, team dinner, that they would all be out having Mexican food. The pizza gets to the hotel. I put my shoes on with the jeans and a wife beater on, and I take the elevator downstairs to get my pizza from the pizza delivery guy in the lobby. And wouldn't you know, I run into a group of 10 of her gymnastics friends who are on their way late to have dinner. And there I am, standing there in a wife beater in jeans. I winced a little bit. There was no discussion about what I was wearing. I grabbed my pizza quickly, took it back up to the room. I'm hoping that word doesn't get back to Ob that I went out, quote, in public, in a wife beater. Fast forward, a couple hours later, probably about 8 o'clock, my eyes are starting to get heavy because I'm old. And what, Chris? What? Chris, I don't need to hear this from you. Okay, Chris just said I couldn't throw on a jacket. Okay, I don't need to hear this from you two. Ob gets back, walks in the room, and I said, "Hey, princess! How was dinner?" And she looks at me and she says, "Did you really wear a wife beater down to the lobby?" Apparently, they all got a good laugh out of going to report to Ob right away at dinner that I wore a wife beater down to the lobby. Ob has made so many threats over the last 24 hours to throw away all the wife beaters. Anything I do that is perceived as wrong, she brings up, "Well, at least I don't wear a wife beater in public." I still don't understand why it's a big deal. I didn't go out. I didn't even go to a gas station or something like that. I didn't cross the street. I barely tasted fresh air. I went down to the lobby and picked up a pizza. That's like being in your house. I can't wear a wife beater in the house. If your friends happen to be late for dinner, that's your problem. Anyway, I don't think I did anything wrong. But communists, though, they know they do things wrong. Something the right doesn't understand is they think communists don't understand
how horrible their policies are. Communists know that communists will say openly that they know people will try to run from their policies. They know their policies are horrible. They know their policies will make your life worse. When your life gets worse under communist systems, it's not an accident and it's not a shock. They know that. They are not trying to improve your life. They are actually trying to destroy your life. They believe you deserve it. They think anyone with anything deserves to have it taken away from them. And if you just listen to them when they talk, they'll tell you that. Don't believe me? Well, millionaires and billionaires are fleeing California. Everyone with the means really is fleeing California for the taxes, the regulation, the filth, the crime, the everything else. Bernie Sanders was asked about these billionaires leaving. Listen to the word Bernie Sanders uses.
So the issue comes down to whether or not we ask the wealthiest people in this country, many of them living right here in California, to start paying their fair share of taxes so that 3 million people in the state can get health care. And I think the answer is pretty obvious. Yes, that's what we've got to do.
But we've already seen Larry Page, Peter Thiel, David Sachs, Larry Ellison start to move out of the state.
Oh, isn't that something? No,
but the argument...
No, yeah. Here's what the argument...
No, let me pause before he goes on. He didn't even say the word yet, but did you just hear his reaction? Just focus on this for a moment. I know you don't feel any kinship with the billionaires they just listed off. Neither do I. I don't know any of those guys. I've never met any of those guys, but... Bernie Sanders was just presented with the fact that some people are so mortified by these policies, they're leaving. They are packing up their homes and they're leaving the state. And did you hear what his reaction was? I'll rewind it just a little bit. Listen to his reaction. Listen to how concerned the communist is with the fact that people don't want to live under his policies.
Yeah.
Fair share of taxes so that 3 million people in the state can get health care. And I think the answer is pretty obvious. Yes, that's what we've got to do.
Well, we've already seen Larry Page, Peter Thiel, David Sachs, Larry Ellison start to move out of the state.
Oh, isn't that something?
Sarcastic, snide, bitter. They know you don't want to live under it, and they don't care. Now, we'll get to the word he uses in a moment. Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Monday. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. In case you're just now joining us, I'll start it from the beginning. Bernie Sanders asked about his wealth tax. Now, I want to pause before we go on. The wealth tax is in the news because California, they haven't even passed it yet, but they're proposing a wealth tax. Who knows if it'll pass, but at this point, it almost doesn't matter because anyone who might be subjected to it's already fleeing. You understand what a wealth tax is. It's not just an income tax, which is bad enough. It means the government gets to stick its nose in all of your affairs, determine how much your stuff is worth, and then force you to write them a check based on a percentage of that. It is as evil as mafia loan sharking. In fact, I would argue it's way more evil because they have the power of the government behind them. That new Martin Scorsese movie you're probably going to go see. I'm sure he has one coming out. Anyway, the new mafia movie that's coming out that has Tony and Anthony walking into some diner and sticking a gun in some guy's face and saying, "Give me $50 from the till for last week." You think those guys are the bad guys? And of course, they are the bad guys. The government does it to everyone. Way worse than Tony and Anthony. Now, Bernie Sanders, he's responding to the fact that, well, billionaires are leaving California. They don't want to be subjected to this. People with means do not live underneath communist regimes.
So what should be done?
Here's what the argument is.
Yeah.
The argument is it is outrageous. What they are saying to the people of California is it doesn't matter to us. We're billionaires, and we're getting richer and richer. And if children die because they can't get to a doctor, tough luck. We have the power, California.
Yes.
And we are going to punish you. Now, they lie a lot, these guys. When Mamdani was running for mayor in New York City, you may recall, everybody, all the rich guys were going to leave. It didn't happen. Now, whether they do or not, I don't know. Who knows? But the idea that they are saying that it's okay for children to die, people not get the health care they need, and they're going to punish the people of California, that is outrageous. And by the way, that is why I will be introducing a national wealth tax. Where are they going to run that? Maybe they'll run to Saudi Arabia. Yeah. I suspect that's where they'll go.
Where are they going to what then? Where are they going to what? Where are they going to run? The communist knows you will run from him, from his policies. When the Soviets took over Russia, abolish the passports was heard in the streets because they knew. They knew. Remember, before communism had even been implemented in full in Russia, they knew, man, the people are going to hate this. We can't let them leave. There has to be no escape from it. We are going to destroy them. We are going to steal from them. And they are going to want to run. And we can't ever let them. Don't ever forget this. The communist is not shocked that his policies, quote, fail. Only people on the right are shocked to find out the communist doesn't care. That's the only way it works. Doesn't he know it won't work? Of course he knows it won't work. That's why Mamdani, he brought up Mamdani in New York City. Mamdani talked about it before he was even elected, that he would have to track down the rich people who left and try to back tax them in different ways. They know. They don't care. They're just evil, dirty thieves, all of them. And speaking of which, one more thing. I'm not going to dwell on this because I keep bringing it up and it'll never happen, but lefty billionaire Steven Spielberg flees high-tax California. Why is that allowed? Why is that allowed? Now, it's one thing for the others to leave, but if you've been critical in getting these communists into power, why should you ever be allowed to leave? You should never be allowed to leave. No. You sit right there and you suffer. Now, speaking of how evil these people are, let's go ahead and tick through a few things, shall we, before we move on to humanism, emails, other things. JP Morgan, this is from Breitbart, admits to closing over 50 Trump bank accounts. I brought that up for a specific reason. Communists, as you know, believe in using power. We talk about this all the time. Whatever power they have, sometimes they have a large amount of power. Sometimes they're just running the mailroom in your company. And lots of times it's something in between that. Sometimes the only power they have is the power to educate your children during social studies class. Sometimes the power they have is to run a sports league, make your next Hollywood movie, write your child's history book. Sometimes the only power they have is the public library. Where can we put the gay stuff? And sometimes the power they have is over financial institutions. But what's important is to understand that whatever power the communist has, he will use that power to punish his enemies and reward his friends. Therefore, he can never be allowed to have any, even the tiniest amount. Communists should not be employed in the United States of America, anywhere. It should be immediate grounds for dismissal if you come out as a communist in the United States of America. That Kamala Harris bumper sticker should have you fired tomorrow. I'm not even coming close to getting to the extent of it either. You should not be able to get any benefits publicly. You should not be able to find employment. It should be virtually impossible for you to find a friend group of any time, of any kind, for the same reason it's hard for the child predator to find friends, because you're an evil, demonic thief and a destroyer, and everywhere
you go, you will destroy everything you get your hands on. So your public librarian, they put the gay books in the kids section because that's an evil demon. JP Morgan, they took away over 50 Trump bank accounts because if you have the power over the financial institutions, well, you use it for the revolution, of course. The revolution is all that matters. Whatever I can give to the revolution, that's what they believe. Now, sometimes their power exceeds that of the librarian or even the JP Morgan manager. Sometimes they rise into high positions in your country, and then you're in real, real trouble. We'll play for you audio of one of those who's been there, and we'll come back if we're not careful. Before we get to that, let me get to this. If you have someone you need to replace in your company, maybe someone you think might be detrimental to your company, or maybe you're just trying to fill in a position that's empty, ZipRecruiter is the only way to go because it makes it easy. That's the idea, isn't it? You don't want to bang your head against the wall. You don't need to go through that. Just use ZipRecruiter and make your life easier. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody good the first day. It's about your time and your money. You are not a full-time hiring person. You are not the HR department. You need help. ZipRecruiter is your help. Let them do it. They'll match you with the top candidates immediately, saving you time, saving you money, and you can try it free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse lets you try it free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. A very powerful communist says a very revealing thing. Next.